It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code PODCAST20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's PODCAST20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Good evening, White Sox fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Future Sox Podcast, Hot Takes and Heaters. My name is Danny Miller, the gentleman that you see with me most of the time, gracing your screens, is my partner in crime, Mr. Jacob Thoem. Tonight is Wednesday, March the 4th, and man, dude, we're rolling right through spring. Guys have run off to the World Baseball Classic, and that's getting underway today. So, you know, before we get into all that, man, how are you doing tonight, Jacob Thoem?
We're flooding, so that's great. Not here, not at my house, but radio stations flooding, Decatur's flood. We're under some water. But other than that, we're doing swell. We're doing swell. We're enjoying the weather. I think I talk about the weather. I've talked about this multiple times, and I talk about the weather every single time I come on here, and yet I continue to do it. So I apologize for being stale, but no, there's my little pre-show tangent.
I was waiting for the other one.
What's my other one? Oh, we're out of sync here. See, I didn't do a show today. This is my first time we're talking live on a mic.
First time on a mic today. Oh, you must have, you know, yeah. Off day at the station.
It was flooded.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now I get you. But, I was expecting we're hanging in there.
Oh, yeah. No, I've cut that out of my vocabulary for today. I'll have to wait till next week.
I give you too much shit. I make you feel bad about that one.
No, you didn't. I deserve that one. I've realized that I say the same, like, 14 words over and over again. Most of them I can't say because of the FCC, but not that the FCC cares about this show, but... Yeah, no.
Although I don't know, man. I'll get into why I say I don't know in just a minute. But I noticed you got a new lid on there, man. I haven't seen this one yet. What you got going on?
Yeah, it's the City Connect one. I almost bought it in Miami for like $50. Shout out Shields in Springfield, Illinois. Only White Sox item in the store. Keep in mind, they have like a bunch of not. It's Shields, so it's massive. Only White Sox item is the store was this hat, but it was 15% off. Got it for $35. Got to buy it in Miami for $50. Happy about that outcome. So, but no, shout out to, yeah, we're going red on red today. I don't know how I coordinated this. I don't even think I meant to coordinate this. My girlfriend says I look like a pastor when I wear this shirt. I don't know if you can see the collar, but it's layered.
Yeah, she says I do see that. So. I do see that from what's visible behind your monstrosity of a microphone there, but you know,
it's not a monstrosity, it's a piece of art.
I'm gonna give you shit about that until no end, until we figure out what to do with that thing. But anywho, yeah, man, I decided to bust out my 2025 All-Star hat for tonight's show because
if you painted a cactus on it, you'd have a 2026 spring training hat,
yeah, absolutely. But you know, I figured it was a good hat to break out for tonight's guest. And he is also the reason why I say maybe the FCC might actually give a crap about this show tonight. I'm going to give him a little introduction here. He is, as you all know, this time of year, right? You know, I always say that Ian is like the hardest working man in White Sox Twitter. But this guy is probably neck and neck with him most of the year, especially this time of year. He's the king of Twitter chaos in March. He is the only Twitter felon I've ever met in my life, because we all know Twitter is Twitter's like the wild, wild west, right? You know, you can get away with just about anything out there. I mean, I've seen stuff that looks like full on porn on Twitter. So, like, I don't even know how this guy gets himself a 12-hour ban, but he's our friend. He's your friend. He is one of the OG 108ers. He is the one and only Mr. Delicious. Everybody, please welcome the Beef Loaf. How you doing tonight, Beef?
Danny, Jacob, thanks for having me, boys. Really appreciate it. Now, I got a question. Jacob hides behind his microphone there. Are you a little bit shy on the camera, Jacob? Or do you just have a superstition about that microphone? You love how you sound through it. Because I feel like it's an interesting thing. I've watched the show a bunch of times. You're always kind of like buried behind the thing. Like, oh, you're almost backstage. A little mysterious. I need to know.
So I'm a radio show host, and I have a face for radio. So, no, the truth of the answer is I broadcast on a tiny desk. My MacBook sits, like, barely in this, and then the microphone has to go here. I could put it off to the side, but there's stuff to the side right now. So going in front of the – going in front right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we've actually – so Beef told me he's been having a little bit of issues with his internet today, so hopefully we don't lose him for too long. He did kind of flash there for a second, but – you know, the other part of that story is Jake, we went over this with a while ago, where his microphone is not exactly adjustable, because if he tries to pull it down closer to him, it doesn't tend to stay standing up. So
it's a little, you know, limp.
It gets a little limp. So, he's got to keep it kind of upright.
He's got to keep it kind of straight up instead of it might bang all the way to down. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Jake's a young man. He doesn't need blue pills just yet, so.
That's right. My microphone, on the other hand, different story.
You mentioned my suspension. I didn't even really do anything, Danny and Jacob. I typed out the word F-A-H-K in place of fuck. I'm sorry. I don't know if we could swear on this. Just baseball.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. Instead of saying fuck, I said fuck. And it was a thread about with White Sox Dave about fasting. And next thing you know, I got the Insta like email like, all right, you need to delete this tweet. You got 12 hours in the penalty box, all this shit. So I was like, well, I don't even know what I did. Like, I deleted it. Fine. I don't care. And take the 12 hours. And obviously, I screenshot it. I go to the 108 account. I throw it out there. And people are like, you should appeal. And I'm like, it's 12 hours. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to fucking appeal this. So I didn't appeal nothing. And I just let it roll. But it was funny. I was counting down the minutes. It was like happened at like 11:10 or something like that, 11:11 in the morning. I was in bed at night like refreshing for when I could tweet something, because I just wanted to get back out there.
Yeah, it's funny too, because I wasn't sure if that ban was, you know, that 12-hour little stint you did was, going to allow you to see DMs or whatnot, or if it just kept you from posting. But I was like, you know, I want to get the rundown over to this guy because we do have a show to do tomorrow. So I kind of waited, you know, until later in the evening. I'm like, do I want to send it out this late? It was right around 11 o'clock when I sent it out. And I was only like 10 minutes later, you were responding to me. So I was like, all right, cool, we're good. So, yeah, but I mean, dude, honestly, like when I say you're the only person I've ever heard of, or at least that I've spoken to, getting any kind of, you know, punishment handed down to him on Twitter, like that's no joke, dude. I see stuff on Twitter every day that I'm like, how does this pass for okay? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm a pretty, you know, forgiving dude. You know what I mean? I spent 5 years in the Navy, man. I've seen some shit. Sure. You know what I'm saying, dude? Like, you spend, you know, 6-7 months on a boat with 5,000 other people and nothing but water all around. Like, you know, you talk all the craziest shit in the world, and you got the worst jokes out there. And like, Twitter is just as bad or worse. And I don't understand how you got yourself a ban, but holy crap, dude. I'm glad you're back. I did kind of post earlier that White Sox Twitter without the Beef doesn't feel like White Sox Twitter. So welcome back, brother. It is good to have you. And it's really good to have you on the show tonight, man.
Yeah, glad to be on. Glad to finally come on this version. I know I came on a long time ago with you and Ian back in the day. But yeah, it's good to be on here. I like that you guys have been gathering up a bunch of guests, Sox Twitter or Sox-related guests. So that's real nice. I'm happy to join and looking forward to this conversation. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I was bringing it up in the, you know, pre-show a little bit, we were talking, and, the last couple of guests we've had on, I made it a point to say like, oh, if you don't know who they are, you've been living under a rock, right? Like, and I said that for like your brother. I said that for Bologna. I said it for MSS. I even said it for Elijah. Like, you know, anybody who's been watching Future Sox at all knows who Elijah is. He's out there a lot, yep. Right? Jacob and I, yeah, we're maybe we don't have the large Twitter accounts out there, but you know, I sure. still feel like some folks know us. And it was brought to my attention. Somebody hit me in the DMs and said, you know, it was one person, but it made me think, well, if one person's got, you know, the gumption to actually, you know, reach out and tell me, there's probably a few others out there. And who knows, some of our listeners that don't watch live and only listen to us on podcast form apparently are not, you know, social media people and don't know who are, some of our guests are or haven't heard. So, you know, I won't say that about you, even though you are quite possibly, you know, at least in personality, one of the largest Twitter people out there for as far as White Sox Twitter goes. Anybody who can take an account that, you know, you guys have like what, roughly about 20,000 followers on the 108 yeah. account. Take that account and make it go trending nationally every March is pretty fantastic stuff. But why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background on yourself and let our listeners know who you are and, you know, kind of how you ended up where you are with this whole thing.
Sure. Yeah. So just to go kind of a little bit back, but not all the way back, in 2008, Tree Z is my brother. You had him on last week. And so he and I, we decided we were going to get White Sox tickets. And when we started searching for getting White Sox tickets, our search led us directly to Section 108. And then on the other side, the section behind the foul pole as well, those are the cheapest seats in the ballpark. So we decided to choose 108 strictly out of complete cheapness. Got our regular seats. We started off with just Saturday and Sunday. We kind of inched our way up, and we started getting the Friday ticket. They snuck us into Aussie plan and gave us a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next thing you know, we were in full seasons. And we realized after sitting there for a long time, when you're in the corners like that, those are not the best seats, but they are down by the field. And your friends can come and congregate with you. Wherever they're sitting in the ballpark, they'd come hang out or whatever. And so when we started congregating there, a lot of fun stuff was happening, people coming over, different things. And we thought we should really, you know, we should capture this in some way, shape, or form, put it out there for everybody else. And so the thought was, oh, let's start a blog. Everyone had, this is the era of blogs, 2016, where I'm going to put a blog up together. And we actually just had our 10th anniversary of our first blog post, which was March 2nd, 2016. You know, long ass time ago, I'm blogging about fucking Avi Garcia, you know, that guy who he had a good year in 17, but 16, he did not have such a good year. But we were like, okay, let's start doing a little blog. And it was, I remember the days, Danny, when we'd put the blogs out there and we'd put them up on Twitter. We didn't have big Twitter accounts like that. If we got 50 views on a blog, we were like, fuck yeah, man, we are killing it. A bunch of people are reading our shit right now, you know, so the things obviously change. As it got snowballing and going a little bit, and we were kind of taking it a little more seriously, we never wanted to do a podcast. And so MSS and I got the idea. I have a hot tub in my backyard, which I've had for years. He's like, why don't we just do a little video show from your hot tub? No one's doing a hot tub show. So we had a video show. We get the phone out there. Like, it was funny. Like, there's no cameras. It's your phone. Our phone would fucking overheat after a Sunday game or whatever. And then the show would just end or whatever. We used to do it straight on Twitter. And I think we might have been able to also put it on Facebook through Periscope. I don't know if you remember Periscope, but it was like an application that allowed you to kind of do video out there. And like, and the novelty of it, it got a lot of views way back in the day, kind of just that doing that thing right there. And so we're like, okay, we'll start taking this a little more seriously. We'll start trying to put out a little more stuff. We'll try to pump up the 108 account. And really, we got the 108 account pumped up by just getting into conversations with people that were already kind of someone on Sox Twitter, you know, like Tom Fornelli at the time, or Brian Billick, or White Sox Dave, or kind of the big accounts, like, noticed us, thought we were clever or whatever the fuck, and would interact with us a little bit. So eventually we're like, well, we gotta start adding more content. And we would have like we got a sponsor, Bader Brow, which we got some of the pumps here from one of the restaurants. We have some of the Bader Brow stuff still. We end up drinking them out of business, but they were our first sponsor. And
Treasy said the same exact thing last week, by the way. We drank a bottle.
Yeah, we didn't really, but we tend to say that. And with regards to 108 attorney, we would have our, like, what we called an annual meeting, which was us getting shit-faced for like 5 hours and spitballing ideas. We still do it to this day, by the way. We did it, I think, in end November. We came in my basement and just got absolutely blind. And we Now we record it now and we write a lot of notes so we remember, because it's really tough when you get smashed trying to remember all these ideas. Like, and we don't do half of them, right? You're just kind of like jotting shit down. What do we want to do? Whatever. And one of my ideas was the 108 tourney at the time, this personalities thing, whatever, what the fuck. And so we're going to do it for March Madness. Treasy didn't want to do it. He told you on the show, too much work. MSS, though, here's the thing about my Treasy's my brother. I love my brother. We're like best friends. But I know when he's a son of a bitch about something, he won't do it. But MSS, on the other hand, also a very good friend of mine, he's a little more, I could lean on him and he'll feel guilty and do some shit with me. So he made a graphic for the bracket. It was like nine for each section. We had one play in on each section, 36 in all, right? So we throw this out there as like a blog post and tweet it. And I told you, we were getting like 50 views or whatever the fuck. I tweeted this out at like 8:30 in the morning. I get to the office. I look up at 9:30 in the morning. This thing has 1,000 views already. And people are talking about it on Twitter. And we're like, holy shit, this is something. And it helped us at the time, too. Like I mentioned, guys that were big at the time that were and Brian Billick was a future Sox guy. He took to us right away. He kind of liked our style and shit. White Sox Dave, too. Them two kind of getting behind it gave it a ton of fucking legs. And so that's really how the snowball got rolling down the hill, and it became part of what we do. Now, the 108 tourney is great because we right now are in what I would consider like the lull of baseball season, because you have the off season, the hot stove. Then, and that's sometimes can be fun, sometimes not. This year was fun for the Sox. And then you have like the beginning of spring training where everyone's really excited to just like put eyes on ball players. But we're past that shit now. So now we're to the boring part where you wait until the fucking season starts and you can't wait till it's going. That's why we always put the 108 tourney into this spot. And like, it's worked beautifully for us every year, except for the year the Sox were expected to be really good. 2021 was a little bit of a down year for the 108 tourney. But most years when they suck, nothing to look forward to. Everyone wants to jump in on it. And so we're positioning for that right now. We're gonna drop the number one seeds on Thursday on our podcast. And then we have full bracket reveal on March 12th at 8:00 on the 108 podcast.
Which is Tuesday, I believe.
Thursday. It's always Thursday.
Oh, the 12th. 108 podcast. Yeah, I know you guys always do Thursday. I thought it meant for some reason maybe it was a – no, you're right. Never mind. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, always 108 podcast. Always Thursday, 8:00. Always Thursday. You got to have this – you know, we're like we try to put the same time as Seinfeld. Not that we're – it must watch like Seinfeld, but we want to be in that spot. That's a good spot right there, 8 p.m. on Thursday.
So are you rooting against the Sox now so you have better turnout from the – or is it too busy? You would rather have the Sox be good and less turnout?
I mean, I would rather have the Sox be good personally, but for the 108 tourney, yeah, if the Sox stink, it's perfect for it. Like it sets it up beautifully. Or as long as there's no real drama going on. Like if there's something, some drama drops, then the eyeballs will start running away to whatever that drama is, you know. And like the goofy Jason Benetti shit popping back up again, that's not enough drama to take away from the 108 tourney. It's got to be something real. Like, well, not everyone crying for the 17th time at the announcer off. Like, some real drama pops up that could be detrimental to the 108 tourney. Otherwise, people get pretty invested because it's like your brethren who are out there, people that you know or whatever. And what also happens is you start building a, like, oh, you really rooting for this person. You really want this person to win. Underdog story. They're going, you know, or this has been my favorite the last two tournaments and jumping on them. So shit like that.
Right on. And, you know, and we talked about it a little bit last week too. It's just good for the community, right? It kind of brings people together. It shines a light on maybe some of those smaller accounts that you don't know who they are. And, you know, like you were saying, you get this opportunity to kind of blow up from guys like, you know, Billick and Dave and whoever else was out there that was, you know, giving you your runway to kind of take off and you know, become what you guys became as the 108. You're actually giving these guys the exposure and the opportunity, you know, to gain more followers, to make, I mean, honestly, I've seen a lot of people become friends. I think it was on your show last week, last Thursday, I believe. You guys were even saying, like, you know, you help people fuck.
we brought people together. Yeah, no, we were talking about it on the fart walk, which we deleted.
That's what it was.
Yeah, no, actually, we've led people to fucking on Sox. I have to, you know what? If I'm estimating Danny Miller, I would estimate we're probably in the 20 to 25 worth of couples who we've helped fuck over the years. And I think that's a good number. We brought people. No, not all of them stayed together, but at least they, you know, they got low. Now, it could be low. I might have to I must have put my sources out there to figure out how many exactly, but that's just my estimate, 20 to 25.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's still, it's, you know, I mean, that's funny and all, but it really is just, it's a good way for the White Sox community to kind of come together. You know, whatever our differences are outside of the White Sox, we do share in that passion for a team that has broken our hearts for so many years over and over and over again. At least we can kind of come together and say, you know what? We'll share in that heartache together. We'll share in the good moments together. But we're, you know, we're all White Sox fans and we're all here. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't make it fun, right? So,
yeah,
you know, kudos to you. I think what you guys are doing with that is awesome. Thanks for giving us a rundown. I really appreciate it. Is there – what do you guys have anything else outside of that tournament coming up that we should know about?
You know, in the real short term, no. I mean, we just have our regular stuff. We have the 108 podcast that's 8 p.m. Thursdays. Along with the tournament, we'll do some post-game shows. So we'll do those at 8:30 each night of the tournament and kind of preview, you know, recap what happened, preview the next day's results. But our normal schedule is just 108 podcast 8 on Thursdays, Ajou at 6 o'clock on Mondays. And that's where I do a straight up one-on-one interview style. I mean, for your listeners, James Fox has been on there several times. Ian's one of my most regular guests on there. Sleepy Harold's been on there. So really, that's a lot of more kind of White Sox talk and stuff. And then once the season gets going, we still do our hot tub show called the Sunday Soak. That's Sunday on the home weekends. And we do it before the game now. A lot smarter because we're getting older. It's tough doing it after the game. We've been losing all fucking weekend. But that's just like the normal content schedule. I do another thing that's in a way similar to the 108 tourney in that it like gets a little bit of hype to it. I do this at the end of the season. It's called the GFY Awards. We give away 13 awards, and it's all materially, it's just crowdsourced. And then I have a private ballot. I have people ballot, vote on the private ballot, and we do some polls as well, too. And they're handpicked awards by me, all kinds of ridiculous shit, like most insatiable analytics dork last year was Jordan Lazowski, you know? And we, it's, you know, it's voted on, so it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, like, what we're trying to do is, like you mentioned, Danny, is have fun with it. Yes, we are going to analyze the team deeply, and I can go down and tell you about all the times when our analysis was spot on and all the shit we did, but mostly we wanted to keep it fun. We want people like, this is baseball. Come here for fun. This should be a good time. And so our content should reflect that. And the thing is, too, if we don't enjoy doing it, why the fuck would anyone enjoy watching it? You know, like, you should be enjoying when you're making some content. It shouldn't be a fucking job. It should be something fun, you know?
Right. Absolutely. 100% agreed. Jake, you got any questions for Beef before we roll into some baseball-related content? I mean, not that wasn't. But,
I mean,
you know.
Listen, you've been going to games for, like, what, now 20 years? Have you started in 08? Like, how has it changed for you now as, like, not as a White Sox celebrity? I mean, you had your own bobblehead last year. Like, that's got to be an insane community feeling. You just walk through and everybody knows you.
Yeah. it is a little bit like Cheers, right? We go to the section. It's like Cheers. It's like Norm and everything. The Midwest beer stand at the top, the ladies know us. We cut the line every single time. I don't know if I should say that on the air or not, but when you see 50 people in line and we just walk right up, you know exactly what's happening. We're going to get first in line there. It is like, I mean, like, and it's kind of a long time coming. Like I don't know if you guys know this, but we did a commercial for the Sox about 3-4 years ago for the track jackets they had coming out. Yeah, exactly. And we did outside of Kathy D's, which is right in the neighborhood there. And it's like a mafia style thing. Trezo and I are drinking a little, you know, cappuccinos and shit like that. We did that for them. We did a video out of the hot tub to announce the bobbleheads for last year's Sox Fest. And this year they didn't video assign us anything, but they did like the beef loaf mystery thing that some of the players had to eat, which was like some crickets and different things for meatloaf. So it's fun. You know, it's like fun stuff that to be recognized. The other thing that happens to us too, and maybe I shouldn't say this on the air as well, but like a lot of people come down and want to take pictures with us, like, which is a very, like, in a way, humbling thing that this happens. And I would say this happened. I mean, we have Gabriel Barristown in our section too, and that happens to him a lot as well. But Gabriel's a huge celebrity in our section. But like, it's humbling to have people say, hey, I would love to get a picture with you guys. You know, I really like what you do or whatever. And that, to me, like, that's a super nice acknowledgement. It's like, oh, that's cool, man. Someone came to the game and they're like, shit, I want to go hang with the 108 boys, get a little picture or whatever. But one thing I do specifically every single home game, or at least the ones I'm at, and someone fills in for me when I don't, is I do something called the class picture. So in the middle of the sixth inning, I go down to the bottom of the section. I snap a shot of everyone who went to the game there because I thought it would be nice. Like, our initial thing was document all this shit. Document what's going on. Nothing cooler than, like, shoot the picture, put up on Instagram, on Twitter. Everyone could see who was hanging with us in the section. And people get pissed at me, like, Beef, I was up getting a beer, man. Why couldn't you wait? And I'm like, motherfucker, you know what time it is, all right? You know when we're going to take this goddamn picture. You be in your seat or don't be in your seat for that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll say this to Jake, too. Like, I guarantee it doesn't happen on anywhere near the level that it happens with Beef Loaf and the 108 guys. But, you know, if you make your way up to a couple Sox games after being on this show, it'll happen to you every now and again, too. It's happened to me. It happened once or twice when my wife was with me. She's like, who is that person? I'm like, I have no clue. But somebody will call and be like, hey, Danny, you know, oh, you know, I watch the show. And it doesn't happen often. It's not like I have a section that is assigned to me as a season ticket holder that's been blasted all over the, you know, internet for the last 10 years, like these guys. But, you know, it's weird. You're walking down the concourse, you're out there in the outfield, and somebody will be like, hey, that's Danny. You know, and it's cool. It is humbling. But I guarantee, like, nobody's asking me for pictures.
Well, it's nice because the community feel, Danny, right? So yeah. A lot of people know each other now from all this stuff. You know, we've done a lot of meetups and stuff where we do live shows and people can come out to the – and even just come out to the section. And everyone starts to get to know each other a little bit, and even through Twitter, whatever. In the old days when we would have our live shows,
then they start banging.
We would have like a, we would have these we'd do name tags, and we'd tell people to put their Twitter name tag on there so people could recognize who the fuck they were back in the old days, you know. So it is like the community has built itself out, and it is cool, like, especially if you ain't seen someone at a game in a while. It's nice to catch up, and like Danny was saying, it's good shit.
Yeah, I have, you know, it's funny. I always end up running into Luke, like, somewhere on the opposite side of the stadium from, like, Section 108. It's just weird. Yeah. Like, I'll be walking through, and before you know it, I probably been walking shoulder to shoulder with this guy for, like, 30, 40, 50, 60 feet. And it's like, oh, what's up, dude? You know, I just happen to run into him all the time. And, you know, my wife used to work for Hostess. And, okay. You know, Luke is known for his tossing of a certain Hostess product, which would be Uncrustables.
Yeah, you know, I love Luke, and he was going to try to do that at one of our live shows. And Treese is like, you keep those fucking things at home, all right? At the ballpark, fine. But at our live show, you cut that shit out, right?
I wasn't able to get it. Unfortunately, she ended up switching companies, and I wasn't able. I was going to get him a fresh, like, off-the-line case, because, you know, he made a big thing out of it. He was like, you know, people give me shit all the time. Like, you know how old them things are? You know how long they've been fucking frozen for and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, I will get you some that, like, just came, you know, like, they're the freshest that they can be. And unfortunately, it never came to fruition. So shout out to Luke. Sorry about that, buddy. There is before we move on, we're almost a half an hour in here and we're still talking shit, which is great, by the way. Don't get me wrong. But I did want to hit one comment here because I had to have a laugh. Because there's been a little bit of a, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a beef. And, you know, it's funny that we have you on the show here, but I wouldn't call it quite a beef. But there's always a little bit of banter between our good friend of the show, always in the chat, always keeping us on our toes. There's been a little bit of banter between Baseball Tossed and Uncle Ted. And Baseball Tossed immediately asks, where's Uncle Ted tonight, dude? And it's like, that's kind of weird. He's not, I haven't seen him here. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Hopefully he comes in. Maybe we'll get a, you know, it's always fun to have the sideshow going on in the comments, if you know what I mean. Like,
Uncle Ted always has a bunch of wild theories. I see him in the live stream with you guys, with Ian and them. Sometimes he pops in our live stream, and Treezy will be like, that fucking Uncle Ted is just talking shit in our live stream. Like, what the fuck?
And right on cue, right when I bring up Treezy's comment, Beef trying to say fuck more to Tony Montana post Twitter jail. Beef just lets one fly. So
you know what? Here, let me tell you really why I'm doing this. I shouldn't do this, but sometimes when I come on someone's show, I wreck house. And Danny, you know I like you a lot. You're a good guy. But I wanted to see if I could give Elijah Evans and the Just Baseball people agita by how much I swear on this show. So I'm just going to be outlandish the whole time. And if you get the show gets blocked from going up on the podcast feed, then that's my fault. I apologize, Danny. But you know what? People be wondering, what was said on that fucking thing? What's going on over there if they have to ban it? So that's fine.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even if just baseball bans it, everything we record goes on our Twitter page. So you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. If you can't find it in the podcast form, you can pretty much find it on our YouTube page. So, but yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I think when that deal was made with Just Baseball Media, I think it was made more for like Ian and James. And you know, they just wanted a certain number of shows or a certain number of views from us monthly, which I mean, we absolutely crushed. Last Ian and I talked about it. It turned out that we were like second, as far as like all the markets that they're involved in. And I mean, nationwide, we're like the second most viewed market in the network. So that's awesome stuff. But you know, unfortunately, I don't even think they're paying attention to hot takes and heaters at all.
You guys, the redheaded stepchild over here.
No, you guys are giving a show that's the, you know, Danny, I think we have similar ideologies in the fact that the thing should be fun and we should rip loose. Yeah, we're gonna analyze stuff and we're gonna talk, you know, dig deep on the White Sox, but we should also be able to cut loose in other directions too. And so, I've talked to Ian about this before too, but I'm really proud of him. Like, the work that he's done, like you mentioned, he's the hardest working man in Sox Twitter. I mean, yeah, he's creating so much original shit, especially cutting videos of these minor league players and all this shit. You're not getting that anywhere else. This is the only place you're going to get that shit. You and everyone, I'm glad people are starting to realize it. I'm glad it's growing like it should, because that's like, man, you're creating something and providing something that this audience has no other access to. This is a perfect outlet. So yeah, I mean, those guys do a great job. You guys, everyone in this channel, there's a lot of talented people here, and you guys do a great job with the whole thing.
Thank you.
Turned into Roch Chalowski watch, but yeah.
It has lately. I mean, but it's that time of year, right? You know, like we got a handful of guys that we're watching in spring training and wondering, you know, who's going to win the position battle, who's going to be, you know, the three or four bench spots that are kind of up in question right now. But yeah, the Roch Chalowski show has been fun. I do have to say this though. I mean, you know, and I feel like I keep running Jake out of the show here because I keep jumping in off everything Beef says, and I apologize, Jake. I'm not doing that to you on purpose.
You're all good. We've been doing this long enough.
But we got all season together, brother. When you bring up Ian and the things that he's done, you know, chopping up all that video, there was a time when he first started doing that, and him and I were, you know, still doing White Sox Daily, and we were having a lot of fun with that. But, you know, we had these conversations kind of fairly regularly that Ian was worried about maybe getting some kind of cease and desist on that from the team. Cause you know, none of it was approved. We were just like, you know, we talked about it. He started out kind of slow with it. He's like, let's see where it goes, you know? And if somebody tells me I got to stop doing it because you don't have, and I'm going to throw the air quotes up there, express written consent. You know, you hear about that on the broadcast all the time, you know, and we didn't. But he thought it was a good idea. I kind of egged him on a little bit. I was like, let's just do what you do because you're good at it, number one.
Right.
Not realizing that, I mean, he, you know, I should have known better. But, you know, that guy, he's there's no stop, right? It's go, 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 go. And when he does something, he wants to do it absolutely perfectly. And I commend him. I applaud him for that. But yeah, it went from a handful of clips here and there, and it grew exponentially to, you know, we started out, Great Falls Voyagers were still around, you know what I mean? So he was clipping stuff from like five different affiliates plus the MLB team. I mean, imagine all the games that you got to go, even if you're not watching them closely, you've got to go through games and pull all these highlights from each individual game, sometimes five games a day. And then you're clipping them. You're loading them up. You're putting them on Twitter. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And I honestly cannot – I can't thank him enough for what it's done for him. What you know, me riding his coattails all the way through this whole thing. You know, I can't take credit for any of it. I'm just the guy that sat next to him for, you know, a bunch of years. But, man, I love the guy. He's – I don't know. We've hung out outside of doing this a bunch of times. And, hey, I don't know, man. I just – it's one of those things where you meet somebody online. You know, we didn't know each other outside of this. We met through Facebook and another, you know, failed site that was kind of coming together. We were in a bunch of chats and stuff together. And don't know, man. It kind of worked out. And now, like, this is a dude, like you guys say, there's people in your section that, you know, like Chirizi's got a bunch of guys that when you first started out in 108 that you were just dudes sitting in front of you. And then, that, you know, 5 years later, they were in his wedding.
Yeah,
no, I could see that kind of thing happening, you know, with me and Ian. We've become, you know, friends, and it's just been awesome, right? So,
yeah, yeah. And you mentioned cutting the video. I mean, all this stuff, though, has led to, you know, the White Sox really noticing future Sox, and including them when there's access. There's access to interviews and doing all this stuff, right? And, and the other thing, too, I think people are starting to know this more. Yeah, great comment by Therese. Ian has helped us a bunch with our audio, especially the Sunday Soap guy mentioned earlier. He's like, your audio stinks. Here's the mic you need. I was like, yeah, you're right. It does stink. It's been horrible.
He doesn't hold back.
We put the new mic in there. We're like, oh, my God, this sounds so much fucking better. Like, God, we're idiots. Like, we don't know what we're doing here. Like, so we reach out to Ian, like, Ian, please help us, my friend, you know. But he's also established himself, at least in the circles I run in, where, you know, you're analyzing players or whatever the fuck. If I want to know something about a minor league player, something, you know, in depth or about the profile, Ian's the guy I'm going to 100% of the time, because he's watched everyone. He kind of knows something about everybody. I was telling Therese the other day, I was like, when it comes to analyzing the Sox, I ain't afraid of nobody in Sox Twitter except Ian Eskridge. He knows more about these players than I do. So, like, even like I've been, I was initially like, I really like Kyle Teal, but then I told Therese, I'm like, but you know, Ian likes Edgar Carroll, so we should just back off Teal a little bit just in case, because we might be off base here. Like, he's the one who has me like looking behind myself, like, hang on, do I got that right? I'm not sure. I better be careful.
I say it all the time, dude. I think he watches more baseball than the White Sox scouting department combined does. Honestly,
he's a maniac.
I mean, when you're chopping up that much video, how can you not? I mean, dude, right. You know, he's got to be picking something up during all that, right? You know what I mean?
So think about all the failed prospects. You can just go to Future Sox Twitter page, hit the search, and just look at all the failed first round, second round picks. There's the entire like minor league career of like Aloy Jimenez and all those guys, Brian Ramos. So there's all of them.
Right.
Think of all the failed prospects.
Yep. He was on top of all that. He's seen all that, all those player types, all the different things.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Aloy Jimenez was creeping through, you know, White Sox or Future Sox. To see his career flash before his eyes, you know what I mean? Because it's there, the entire thing.
Late at night, he's scrolling through, and it's like 2019 or something, you know.
Here's all the nice things they had to say about me until I hung off an outfield wall by my shoulder, and then it was down over there. All we did was talk shit about the guy. We're like, yeah, he's still got talent, but he's an idiot. You know what? As fun as this has been, we probably should get into some baseball talk here. Okay. So, no, I mean, this has been great. It really has. I love
baseball show.
Yeah. Well, hey, like again, this has all been baseball related. It's baseball adjacent, if you will. Right. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys, I don't know if Beef Love knows this about me. Jacob does, but, you know, Wednesday night's my karaoke night, man. So if I sit here and talk shit all night long, I'm cutting into my karaoke time.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that. Okay. All right.
No. We're good.
We're on a schedule.
Hang on. Before we
go. DJ's there until 1:30 in the morning. I'm fine.
Before we go any further, Danny, what is in the, you know, the repertoire for the karaoke? Give me one or two songs that you're out in there belting on the regular. These are go-tos. Man. Give them to me right now.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I will sing just about anything. I'll put that out there right now. I will do metal. I will do hard rock. I'll do grunge. Big fan of, you know, grunge. I do a lot of Stained, things like that. But my go-to, and it's probably my go-to because it's a little bit easier in my voice. I like to warm up with something a little bit easier to kind of break myself in. Okay. The last year or so has been, it's been a Three Doors Down song called Landing in London.
Okay. All right.
So I've been opening with that one, I'd say once every 6 or 7 weeks. But my thing is I try not to do the same songs over and over.
Okay.
Again.
You want to get a little something different in the repertoire?
I'll do, depending on how busy it is on a Wednesday night, I'll do anywhere from 3 to 6 songs, you know, depending on what kind of rotation the DJ's got going. And I tried not to do, you know, I have a handful that'll come up a lot. Like Cult of Personality comes up a lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Living Color. Hell yeah.
Let's yes, go. Sir. I have a couple of country go-tos. You know, I'll kind of read the crowd, who's in there, what I'm hearing. You know, maybe I'll just kind of go with, you know, the theme of the night or whatever and pick things that way. But yeah, man. I mean, dude, I've done like Filter. Fucking, hey man, nice shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. And people are like, holy fuck, dude, you nailed that. And I'm like, I used to sing in a band way back when. So it's and when I say way back when, I'm talking like 27 years ago. So it's always been something I wanted to get back into. But this is where you know, this is where I get that urge to you know, put a microphone in front of my face and go all out. So
I love it. What we need is a White Sox Twitter outing. We need a White Sox Twitter outing to come hear you sing. That's what we need. We need to get out to this karaoke bar at some point and fucking hear you blast away, man.
Absolutely,
I'm
man.
I'll get you for the national anthem.
That would be awesome.
Oh, that would be sweet. Yeah, at a Sox
right?
Yeah.
Man, we got to get Brooks Boyer in here. Make it happen.
We might not have Brooks Boyer. We'll see what we can do. You know, let's try that out.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I've thought about doing it like on Twitter Live if I didn't think I was gonna get dinged for fucking copyright shit. But you know, there's ways around that, I guess. You know, my account's not huge, so they might not even find it. But you know, we'll see. Maybe one day I'll throw some stuff up there, let everybody get a taste.
Just don't say fuck.
No, you can say it all you want. Just don't type it.
Apparently. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you can say I cursed a bunch in the video I put out there today on Twitter. Nothing happened, so I was fine.
Harp says I do B-sides. I do like doing B-sides, man. I do like doing the lesser-known stuff, man. It's like, see? If I'm a fan, you know, like when I said I do Stained, yeah. Like I do Something to Remind You, which is not like one of the ones you'll hear on the radio, like ever. But, yeah, I go out there and I crush that one. It's one of the ones I get crowds. Like I actually had a guy who was a friend of a producer, like, offer me a gig, and then you know nothing ever came. I was like, I don't know if it was just drunk talk or what, man. But I talked to this guy for like an hour, man. His friend like produced fucking Pink and Green Day and fucking a bunch of people. Got me on the phone with him and everything. He sent him a bunch of videos, and then I never got a call. And I was like, well, I guess I didn't have what they were looking for. But yeah, you know, who knows? So yeah, all right, man. So I guess, you know, the closest thing we can get to baseball talk right now is obviously spring training's rolling. But today, in honor of having Beef Loaf and getting him out of the clink, they decided to start the World Baseball Classic. So, Jacob Thome, my question to you, sir, is what are you most looking for out of the World Baseball Classic, and what team are you rooting for? And I saw this come up on Twitter. I can't really take credit for the question. But I thought it was a great question. I think it was. I think it was actually the Bums that put it out there. It might have been Baloney himself that put it out there. But what are you looking for? And who's the team you're rooting for the most right now?
Listen, I'm rooting for good baseball. I don't really care who wins. I don't know, the USA. Like, of course, right? I don't know. Like Teal and Antonacci would be fun to watch for Italy. Murakami, I want him to hit his ball as far as humanly possible. I don't know. I'm rooting for the White Sox guys to do good and just like good baseball in general. Like the Otani striking out Trout moment from the last WBC, like that was fun. I don't know. That's all I care about. It's not that serious of a tournament. So USA is probably who I'm voting for, but yeah.
Right on. How about you, Beef? You got anything specifically you're looking for from the Classic?
You know what? The World Baseball Classic, I am a fan that it exists, but it's one of these things kind of like the Olympics where I won't know when the game is on necessarily, and so I'll be flipping through the channels. Oh shit, that game's on! I'm gonna watch that game right now. But one thing that reminded me today is someone, I think, was talking baseball or somebody clipped Team Mexico playing an exhibition where they had Rowdy Tellez and Alejandro Kirk both running around the bases trying to score together, and like two of the fattest Mexicans you'll ever see. And I was like, man, I gotta get my, because I have the Mexico hat. You know, Chorizo and I are half. We're half Mexican. I gotta get my Mexico hat out, and I'll root for my fellow fat Mexicans, but I'm not really that into it from the perspective of like, oh man, I'm gonna be involved in all this, because I don't know, I just don't, I don't, I'm not aware it's going until it like gets to the end, like when it gets down to the finals and shit, then I'm actually, oh okay, like there's a big game, we're gonna go hang out at the bar and watch the thing. It feels like the pool play has some patsies in every single region that are supposed to get, you know, absolutely pummeled. So it reminds me a little of like World Cup where, you know, there's teams that ain't getting out of this little round that's starting right now. It's going to go.
Yeah, the real competition doesn't get rolling until later in the tourney, which, I guess is probably that way for most big tournaments. Yeah. Including now the 108 getting up to 160 participants, you crazy son of a bitch.
You know what? I realized though with 108 tourney is I've cut out more of the like big accounts, right? People have 10,000 followers or more. And so what starts happening is the first round matchups start being pretty intense and chaotic. Like I was looking in the bracket this morning, I'm like, oh shit, man, there are so many bangers right out of the gate where you're like, oh shit, these people are going. This woman's going, this guy's going, where the fuck? And so like there's gonna be a little more action out of the gate. So yeah, the pool play though looks like you will beat the crap out of a couple teams, and then later on in the pool play, the US will play against Mexico, you know, and then that'll be like a real matchup, you know. And the same thing in the other ones, you know, like there's what, you know, Israel has a team, I guess. Like there's some countries I'm like, how do they even field the team? I don't even know how they got guys. They're just like it's like everyone doing fake passports or some shit to get to whatever fucking team they're on. My buddy stopped by tonight. He dropped off his tax stuff. I always do his tax for him. I used to do taxes. I only do taxes for like close friends now. And my buddy's like, how the fuck is Dane Dunning on the Korean team? What the hell is going on here? It's like, I didn't even just make up whatever team they want to go on.
I didn't even know that. That's funny.
Shout out to Czech Republic, by the way. Zero MLB players. They all like work normal day jobs, just formed a team. And they're so if you're ever watching for like random players to play baseball, Czech Republic. Also, shout out Nolan Arenado. Did that
last
time. Yeah.
And they actually played halfway decent.
I think one of them struck out Ohtani. Like it was a thing.
Nice. Oh yeah.
Also, shout out Nolan Arenado for like switching sides, which I didn't even think you could do. But now he's playing for Puerto Rico. That's weird. I don't know. Pick a country, stick to it.
I think that happens in the Olympics sometimes. They kind of they'll switch the country if they got dual citizenship or whatever the fuck, you know. Sometimes.
Yeah. I wasn't at that the girl, the skater this year, the big one for us the States here.
They tried to recruit her.
Yeah, there was a whole thing.
It's big business, I guess.
You know? Yeah, so, well, she was happy to be, you know, in the U.S., I guess. Apparently, she wasn't really treated well where she was.
Let me ask
you
guys something about the World Baseball Classic. I'll start with you, Jake.
Yeah.
Are you at all worried about Mune? Because Mune, the spring training is meaningless in a way, but, like, you saw Mune get 13 plate appearances. He looked like Mune to me. He hit the ball like a fucking rocket a bunch of times. No homers, but... And then he struck out like you thought he would strike out. Are you worried about him going in the World Baseball Classic? Because last time he was in it, he didn't perform well. Are you guys worried about this shit at all? Jacob, you go first.
I don't know. He hit like a long ball. Like he destroyed that baseball. I don't know. I think it was Merrill Kelly that he just tattooed one. So like I don't know. Like it's tough though. All I want is no injuries. That's really all I care about in terms of performance. I would love to see one of these players go yard. Other than that, just stay healthy. We'll figure it out for the regular season.
Yeah, I'm in that same vein. My thing that I think I'm probably looking for, you know, and I'll agree with the chat where, you know, folks are just saying everybody stay healthy and, you know, come back to the White Sox ready to play. Treese said it last week. Like, I think there's probably some truth to this. Is like these guys are getting some real world experience baseball where it's not, you know, this isn't like piece together split squad stuff that you're getting in spring training right now. You're actually getting a full team that's going out there. They're playing a full nine innings and they're trying to play winning baseball. So I think that's good. It, you know, it brings out the competitive side, maybe get some of these guys ready for the competitive nature of the regular season.
Yeah.
But the big thing is I'm looking for the crazy story to come out. You know, that's what I'm kind of hopeful for is like, one guy just does something that's super standout or a couple of guys that maybe nobody saw or expected coming. Those are the stories that I think are a lot of fun when it comes to that. Like a guy who, you know, pumps gas striking out Shohei Ohtani. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's the kind of thing, like, that's cool. Like, let bring that on. Give me more of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, I'm with you, Beav. I'm not necessarily, you know, seeking out specific games. They're on at all kinds of crazy times and shit. You know, it's like, I don't know when they're playing, what they're playing, and I just happen to come across. Like right now, I'm watching a game. I was just flipping through channels before we got on the show, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, what do I want to, you know, have on in the background while I'm talking to these guys? And I've got a 2017 WBC game on between USA and Puerto Rico right now. So like, and I'm like, I don't even remember seeing it. Did I watch this? I don't know.
So, about to find out, maybe.
maybe not. Who knows? But yeah, you know, and like Uncle Ted says, you know, it grows the game globally. Yeah. And that's always a good thing, especially we talk about, and we're not going to get into this today because it's been fucking done over and over again. But when we're talking about a possible lockout next season, you know, there's nothing short of like just an absolute need is to continue to grow the love of your game, because you're going to need that if there is a good time off. So right on. Why don't we move into some White Sox stuff? Is there anything in spring training standing out to you? You know, obviously we've lost a bunch of guys to the WBC. A lot of them left days ago. So there isn't. And then, you know, the White Sox had an off day today. But Jacob, is there anything that really stands out to you since we talked last Wednesday about, you know, maybe some of the development of guys or the lack of development from guys that we were hoping to kind of see?
I mean, the starting pitching's at this point worrisome. I mean, not that I was depending on a whole lot from like Davis Martin, Jonathan Cannon, those types of guys, but they have not looked great this spring. So, I mean, that stuff's kind of worrisome. It's been more fun to see. I mean, Luis Angel Acuna's had a hell of a week. I'll say that. I mean, the dude is slated to replace Robert, and he's looked really good. I think he's got like a 1,400 OPS. Not that spring training stats matter, but it's a good sign. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard because, again, like I said last week, there's kind of still a bunch of guys in camp that just like are going to start the year in Birmingham and or not ever play Major League Baseball again. So it's tough to get a gauge on some of these guys, not just because of, you know, who the White Sox are throwing out there, but also who the other teams. I mean, if you're hitting home runs off of, you know, some 26-year-old who's never seen higher than single A, I don't know how like real those stats are. So I don't know. It's you pick and choose your stats that fit your narrative. And I don't really have a narrative right now. So starting pitching is worrisome. So we'll just leave it at that.
Beef, same question, man. What do you got for us? What are you looking? Let me ask you this, because Jake and I talk every week, right? What are you looking for the most out of spring training? Who do you want to see? Who do you want to see, you know, and maybe one of these fringe players that, you know, you want to see make the squad, or guys that have been talked about that, are, you know, it sounds like they're shoe-ins, but maybe they're not, you know, I don't know. Like, what do you have that could kind of might stick out? Because I know you've always got something cooking, dude.
We talked a little bit on the last One Away podcast about, like, who's your fringe guy that you really want to see show out? And for me, it's been Curtis Meade, and now he's off to the World Baseball Classic of Australia. But, like, right before he left, he had a home run. And he's a guy who's fringy on the roster. He looks like he's on the outside looking in. He's out of options, but they did just trade for him. So, like, he has that going for him. And he's one of these guys. He's, like, one of the first guys that when they initially started trading for guys in the Getz regime, hitters, they were looking for all these guys that really controlled the strike zone well, right? And they got a bunch of those guys. Not many of those guys hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, Miguel Vargas being one of them who kind of does, and they're kind of like encouraging that more than just the patience. Meade was the first one of the bat speed guys that they acquired. When they acquired him at the deadline, it was like, oh, he's a bat speed guy. He should have power, but he hasn't really had tapped into any of his power yet. And so like that, like it was the impetus of some of the Ryan Fuller stuff, like, oh, they want to grab, and they've started doing it kind of across the board. Acuna is one of those guys. Everson Pereira is one of those guys, et cetera. So I kind of wanted to see if he was going to perform or whatever. He's off to the WBC. The other guy who MSS and I have been talking about a little bit, as you start to have the youth movement come to Chicago, and even with the signing of Mune, you know, Miguel Vargas, he's not on the hot seat or anything. He's on the team. But you start looking around in a year or two, and you're like, well, Miguel, you're going to have to take that next step with the hitting. You're going to need to add more power, and there's maybe going to need to be a little more batting average here, because you might have to move off third for some of these younger guys and move to a corner outfield or some other spot where the bat is really going to be dependent upon. And he took a nice step last year. Don't get me wrong. He got himself up to from bad to league average batter. Now he needs to be 115, 120 WRC plus for him, for us to look at him and say, okay, we can move him off third if we need to, and we can push him in the left field or whatever we deem necessary to kind of like make the defense better or whatever. Or he's got to really start picking in at third. Now he looks like he's shown some improvement in spring training. So little stuff like that, just like a little turn the notch one little bit on a guy. Not so much like, oh, you know, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Tanner Murray has hit the shit out of the ball. Yeah, I know. He's gonna be hitting the shit out of the ball in Charlotte. Like, I'm looking for shit that's gonna be affecting us immediately.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. When you say spring training stats don't really matter, he's that guy. There's zero chance you're making this ball club.
It is nice to see, but yes,
out of the gate.
Let's create the Brandon Drury Award. And just every single year, one player gets the Brandon Drury Award for spring training hitter of the year that does nothing the next season in the majors.
Jacob, there were broad think pieces about how Brandon Drury is going to turn over the White Sox roster, and he gets hurt right before the season, and they cut him, if I remember correctly. And people, there was blood in the streets that Brandon Drury was cut. He was out on the streets like, no one's picking this guy up. No one cares. Like, take it easy.
Yeah, then he cleared waivers, and everybody's like, oh.
Oh, no.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Because it wasn't a big deal.
Was it 16 or 17? At 16, I believe, when they brought in Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier and Brett Lowry were free agent pickups in the same year. Am I mistaken that Brett Lowry actually started the opening? Well, he was the opening day starting third baseman that year.
I thought he played second. I could be wrong about that. But yes.
Maybe, I don't know. I felt like it was just, okay. I was just trying to, you know, go off of what you guys are saying, like just weird kind of happenings. Like, yeah, I get it. It's not exactly the same where it's like, you know, you're expecting some, you know, guy that lit up spring training to go, you know, absolutely apeshit and like, oh, he's got to stay on the team. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Yeah, absolutely does not.
You're right. He was here in 2016. His career was over after that because he had some injury that year, if I remember correctly. And then, yeah, never played in the majors again. That was it. The end of his goddamn career.
And I was just shocked that, like, he, if I'm not mistaken, like, he was the opening day starter at third base. And I'm like, didn't we just fucking pick up Todd Frazier? Like, what the is going on here, dude? And it didn't stay that way, obviously. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it was. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, it's been a minute and, you know, I'm getting old. So, like, you get in a 50 club and you're like, they almost do change overnight. But then again, I've also got a different perspective about things now, too, man. I'm like, you know what? It's like you get older. You're like, fuck, time to grow up. So now I'm like, I'm trying to put nothing but love and light into the world and change my fucking ways until we get onto Twitter. And then I'm like, fuck you.
Things change.
And it's all in good fun. Don't get me wrong. So, yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm with you guys. Like, there's when it comes to the position battles, like we've been talking ad nauseum about them since the spring has started. And honestly, at this point in time, a few weeks in, I still feel like I have absolutely no clue what direction they're going to go. And there's nothing that's happened that's told me like this guy's going to be the starting right fielder on opening day. This guy's going to be the fourth outfielder. This guy's going to be a fifth outfielder, super utility guy. Like, nothing has happened other than Brooks Baldwin looks like he's a lock to make the team absolutely no matter what. But we pretty much thought that was going to be the case. It just depends on where they're going to put him. Are they going to play him in center field? Are they going to put him in a corner position? Is he going to be a super utility player? But outside of him, like, I feel like there's been no real standout like position battle type guys that have been like, this guy has to be on the team right now.
Oh, that's someone that kind of made a move and was like, oh, okay, you know, that guy has definitely claimed that spot kind of situation. Yeah, I was worried about Brooks Baldwin before the season just because of the numbers game. I think he belongs on the roster, but he's one of the guys that does have minor league options, and he brought a lot of these guys that don't, and I was like, they better not screw Baldwin out of this. He looked the part in the second half. Like, he hit righties like a motherfucker. You know, in the second half of the season, I think it was like 121 or 124 WRC plus against right-handed pitching. Like, if you don't have a regular spot for the guy, I want to see him 4 days a week against any right.
Yeah, he's like, got to be the strong. The corners, you know, like, he's got to be the strong side of a platoon somewhere, right?
Agreed, you know, yes.
But get you're hitting 125 WRC plus, you got to be in the lineup. You have to be.
Agreed.
So, yeah. What about you, Jake? Any standouts, anything you want to, you know, hit on before we move on to some of the more interesting topics that we have here?
Yeah, shout out the 217 once again, Sam Antonacci. Shout out. I don't know if he's gonna. I doubt he makes a team. Also, I'll be interested to see if he starts the year. Like in obviously he's going to the minors. Like he's not gonna make the team, but I'm interested to see once he goes down if he's in the corner, because I don't think he's the middle infield is so crowded already. I think that a move to the corner outfield makes sense for him. So I'll be interested because I think some of these guys are going to have to move. Like we talked about Bonimer. Antonacci makes sense as a guy. Like you're just going to have to move some of these guys out. So other than that, not really. I think Mead, I think, is a really interesting case though, because like he was a guy where, you know, with how many second already, they already have a ton of second basemen. He kind of played that, you know, utility role. And it felt like he was on the outside looking in, but I think he cemented himself as in right now. Anyway, we'll see what the WBC does for him or when he comes back, what that looks like. But yeah.
Wolf asks real quick, you know, since you brought that up, and I'll give you guys both an opportunity on this one. Can Mydroth and Antonacci be on the roster together? Or is it one or the other? You already know what my answer is going to be. You know the name I'm going to throw out there before either one of those guys. But go ahead, Jake.
I think it depends on if they're going to play. If they're both playing second, no. If they move one of them to the outfield, then sure. Because you're not moving off of Lenin Sosa. I totally stole Danny's.
I mean, you knew I was going to throw it out there, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But all right, same question to you, Beef. What do you think, Mydroth and Sam, is there room for both of them?
In theory, not on the opening day roster with no injuries. No, there is not. But in theory, you could have a roster where they're both on it. I just don't think both of them can be starting players on your roster. There's just between the two of them, they don't hit for enough power. I know we saw 109 mile per hour.
Just like that.
Grand closing. Oh, he's right back.
We lost you for a minute there, bud.
Love this shit. I mean, it was great. I don't expect him to be doing a lot of that, though. I mean, like, he did that, and then he proceeded, like, the next 10 plate appearances to pound the ball directly into the ground. I think there's going to be a lot more of that than there will be those pull shots. So you're talking two guys who are kind of lower power expectation players. I don't think you can put them both on the field and, like, expect 1,200 plate appearances from the two guys with the power output. But could they both be on the same roster? Yeah, absolutely. Like, one of them could be in a reserve role, and one of them could be in the starting position. But I don't think on this opening day roster. No, you're not. Mydroth's going to play second. Sam Antonacci will be in Charlotte and hopefully continues to hit.
And all you fucking Sosa haters, every last one of you, I've been working my ass off all offseason. Man, I got blisters on my ass because you sons of bitches and you fucking haters, whatever. Got me cussing like a sailor. I'm back in the Navy again over here. Sound like fucking Beef Loaf. you know, here's the thing, and shout out to Chirizi for kind of echoing and even pointing it out last week. Yes, I've been beating this drum for a long time, partially because I was in on him day one when they picked him up back in like fucking 2017. He's guy's been around forever, right? He's been part of the White Sox system since being signed off the international market. And, I don't know, dude. I like the cut of his jib, I guess you could say. I don't know how else to put it. And I've been in on him for so long. I can't come to terms with being wrong about him, I guess. So I'm going to continue to beat that drum. And you know what? He's done me some good, right? He came out and he hit 22 dingers last year or whatever it was. 21. I don't remember the exact number, but I should as much as I beat that drum for him. But you can't not have that kind of power output on this team. So whether or not he's an everyday starter or an everyday player or whatever, he's going to be on the team. I'm sorry. He's making the opening day roster. All you jerks out there to think he's not. Well, he's going to get traded. They're not trading him. If he would have been traded already.
Hand up, Danny, though. I agree with you on every point you made, except I don't know if you saw yesterday the Atlanta Braves lost Jurickson Profar
to a
162-game suspension. He was projected to be the DH. There is a DH spot opening up, and Lenin Sosa might hit 30 home runs in Atlanta. That's a launching pad down there. He might absolutely crush the ball down there. When I saw that, I was like, I don't think this would happen, but it seems like there is at least a remote chance that they might be looking around in the cupboard here with the White Sox. You might have to get a Braves jersey of him.
I might. You weren't the only one on White Sox Twitter that had that thought, and I did initially have that thought too, but I thought, I don't know if the Sox, you know, the way they kind of hug guys a little bit, and yeah. You know, Getz has been less adept to, you know, hugging guys like we have in the past, right? True. He's obviously shown a penchant to, you know, get you know, take a trade if he feels like the value is there.
Yep.
But if he doesn't feel like the value is there, he's not going to just ship a guy off, right? And I think, you know, I've said it many times over, and you brought it up again when you've got Mydroth and some of these other guys in the lineup. You take a big hit in the power department, and you can't have that many holes, especially when you're trying to protect guys like Mune Murataki, who you're hoping turns out to be everything that, you know, he was, you know, touted to be. And Colson Montgomery, who you're hoping takes another step, these guys need some protection in the lineup, right? Yeah. You know, whether that means, you know, Carroll and Teal playing, you know, together every day, which I know early in the offseason, it sounded like, you know, Venable didn't want to do that. And now things kind of seem to be swaying maybe a different direction with some of the talk going on out there that we might see a lot of them together in the lineup. I don't know how that's going to play out just yet. I know Sox fans have been clamoring for it ever since, you know, last season, but the team has had some different things to say about it here and there, but you know, I still feel like you got to have Lenin Sosa's power at least available to you when you need it in that situation. You've got to be able to put him in front of a pitcher that goes, oh shit, I have to throw strikes to some of these guys because any one of these guys has the potential to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I can't just go out there and fucking try to paint corners. Going to put somebody on base, right? So, I don't know. It is what it is. That's just my final thought on it. But, yeah, my whole reason I beat the drum is because I don't want to be wrong about the guy. That's really what it comes down to it.
I agree with you with regards to the power, but not only the power. Like, they definitely do need the power. Like, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of power. To begin with, you went out and got Mune. Okay, you added one more power bat, but that's kind of not enough yet to, like, even be decent. But the other thing they need, and Lenin Sosa provides a bunch of it, is – the batting average guys to actually drive a fucking run in. I'm a big money ball guy, and yes, walks generally are almost as good as a hit, except when it's second and third. I would prefer – I'll take the hit instead of the fucking walk because I want those runs to come in. And so there aren't enough of the guys in the roster that do that shit, and he's one of them.
And he's a guy that will expand the zone with two strikes and actually put the ball in play.
Right.
Where he's not, you know, swinging at – he doesn't look like Luis Robert swinging at the three-foot – slider down and away, 3 foot outside
it somewhere.
It not only made contact, it hit it hard. He's like Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Vlad Guerrero, I should say, not even Jr. Vlad Guerrero in that sense, where that guy would take something for an eighth of an inch off the ground out of the park. You know what I mean? Like it.
Yeah.
But you know, and I'm not saying that he's that, but he does have a tendency to hit the ball hard, even when he expands his zone, and he doesn't shorten his swing. And there's something magical about it, man. I'm like, I watch games and you know there's six other guys in the lineup where I see two strikes and I'm going, fuck, innings over. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna hit into a double play, this guy's gonna strike out, whatever, we're not gonna score. And I see, you know, Lenin Sosa up there with two strikes and I'm glued, I'm at the edge of my seat because I'm like, this son of a bitch is gonna do something. He's gonna do something with two strikes. He's gonna do something. I am not afraid. So yeah, it is what it is, man. We're about an hour and 8 minutes in here, and I cannot believe it because it has not felt like we've been on that long. It's been a lot of fun. Do you guys have any other White Sox related or WBC related stuff you want to get off your chest? So anything you want to get out in the open?
Not dire.
Don't come out of the closet here, Beatflow. You save that for the 108.
That's a real big reveal right there.
Surprise!
Hey! No, so nothing, huh? All right, well, let's move on to some fun stuff then. The moment that I believe a lot of people are waiting for here, the reason that a lot of people are here in the chat tonight, outside of the awesome White Sox content that we always put together, our friend Beefloaf has been kind enough to grace your screens in the airwaves this evening. Partially because I asked him to come on so that he could give us a square for the Future Sox Hot Takes and Haters bingo card. Again, I'll give you everybody a quick rundown for those of you that don't know. Jacob came up with this idea last year. It didn't come to fruition. We kind of took off and ran with it this year, but it's simple. We're putting together a bingo card just like any other bingo card with 25 spaces on it, a free space in the middle. We brought on some of the more prominent White Sox Twitter personalities to give us a square on that card that they want to see happen throughout the season. That square can be anything from exciting and fun to goofy and fun to player-related to absolute serious stats, whatever. Something that happens on the field, off the field, in the booth, whatever you want it to be. It's just it's one of those things, kind of like the 108 tourney and some of the other stuff you guys see out there, to bring the White Sox community together to have fun, a little bit of fun with the season. So without further ado, and by the way, before I even get to beef, I'm gonna drop a little bit of a bomb here today. I am going to give you mine.
Sensitive topic right now.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, sensitive topic. What's going on?
That was a horrible joke. We'll just graze right over it. Keep going.
it took me a minute. I'm sorry. I'm a little slow. I am going to...
Sorry. Yeah, that was for the beginning of the show.
I deserve that. I deserve that. All right, I'll wear it. Teaser. I'm gonna give you mine. Mine's gonna be, I think, a little bit more on the fun side. It's gonna be not player related. It's gonna be. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna wait for Beef to give his, but I'm gonna let you know that I'm gonna give you mine, and I'll tell you why afterwards. But go ahead, Beef. What do you got for us tonight on the White Sox bingo card this year?
Excellent. I love this idea, Jacob. I think it's a great idea, and I can't wait to sweat this the entire year. I hope you guys have a nice graphic that we can see when we made a spot. I mean, you can see if we ever hit a bingo throughout the year.
It's coming out shortly. Hopefully, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I'd love to see it. So I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, like, I feel like people are going to go so far with the idea of you didn't have that on your bingo card, so like super obscure shit. I wanted something that's not easy to do, but where we're gonna be like, okay, so we got B-Flow square covered. We got a shot to make this fucking bingo. So I had three different potential ones here, and I think I'm gonna settle on this one finally. We were talking about Edgar Caro and Kyle Teal. My square is gonna be the game where they each record two hits in the same game. Two hits for both of them in one game is my square. I think that's totally achievable. Two hits in a game by two different players should be fairly reasonably achieved a lot. Obviously, they won't always be in the lineup, but when they are in the lineup, I think we'll get to this. I think this is a probable event. Maybe it happens as soon as, like, you know, April, and we're like, okay, sweet.
Could happen first week. Could not happen until, like, June. You never know.
Right. We don't know. We don't know when it's going to come.
No, that's fantastic. That's exactly, I think, the kind of thing we're looking for. We don't want to be in September, hoping to, you know, finally get that last one to catch a bingo.
Right.
You know, really, honestly, we'd like to maybe get a coverall by the time the season's over. But there are some tough ones on there already. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Beautiful.
You say you have a couple more that maybe you want to just throw out there for the sake of conversation.
The other ideas I had, okay, so the two other ideas that I had on my list that I didn't use were two White Sox players getting three hits in a game, which is kind of a rare thing, but it does open it up to kind of every single one. And then the last one I had, I looked this up, I could be wrong, but last year it looks like the White Sox didn't have a winning streak longer than four. So I was going to say the White Sox five-game winning streak. White Sox win five in a row would be it. Yep.
I hope Jake's writing these down, because I think, you know, if we get to a point where we're looking to find, you know, one or two last squares that need to be filled, we have been given, you know, more than one by a couple of people. Maybe we'll do a Twitter vote. We'll put up a poll and have somebody we'll have everybody vote on like what the last one or two spots should be on some of these extras. So, yeah, I absolutely appreciate it, man. All right. Dude, Beef, I love all of them. Honestly, I really do. I think, yeah. And like I said, you know, we want to be able to hit the bingos. We want to be able to talk about them throughout the season when they come up, when they occur. Yeah. So I kind of tease that I'm going to give mine. And I was going to hold off till, you know, we got really close to the season started before I gave mine. Jake and I kind of talked about that. I'm throwing a wrench in that idea for a couple of different reasons. One is because Beef Loaf is on the show with us tonight, and I didn't think we were going to be able to get you on until after the tournament was done and over. I thought you were going to be super busy with that stuff, so I do appreciate you coming on with us tonight. But this one relates – this one, like I said, is not player-related specifically. It's going to be an accountability square. Yeah, it's not to you, to somebody else, and I'll get to that in just a second, but – the reason that I'm doing this is because the person that I am looking to hold accountable was a guest on your show just recently, and it is 100% related to the 108. But last year, 108 Bobblehead Day, there was a certain announcer who said they would do a broadcast from Section 108 sometime this year. So, my square is going to be Chuck Garfon and Ozzie Guillen broadcasting from the 108 sometime during the 2026 season.
Love it. Yes.
And then I'm going to piggyback off of that, and I'm going to ask B-Flow for some help on this. I did put a tweet out saying I was going to pander to some celebrity squares. So, today is day one of pandering to Chuck Garfon. And I'm gonna tweet every fucking day until he agrees to give us a square.
Love it.
So Chuck Garfon, you're on alert, buddy.
I'm in there.
We are going to, and I'm gonna ask for Beef's help on this because you know he might have a little bit of a relationship with Chuck. He has been on their show.
He's just on the show.
He was just on the show recently. I'm gonna ask for White Sox Twitter's help. We're gonna blast this one out there over and over again until Chuck gets so sick of us that he doesn't have to come on the show to do it. He can hit me in the DMs or he can put it up in one of the tweets, whatever. Just give me a square to put on this thing. Maybe when we get that actual card out and he can see what it looks like and see what it's all about. Might entice him a little bit more. And we'll do that sometime, maybe tomorrow or the day after. We'll get your square added. We had all our other guys, all our guests added to that card already. We'll get yours added. We'll get mine added. And then we'll blast it out there. But yeah, we're going to pander to Chuck. We're going to get a Chuck. And if we can get a Chuck, maybe we can get an Ozzie. And if we can get an Ozzie, maybe we can get. You know, John Shriffin is a great guy. I think he might be the easiest of the group to get in there. He's always willing to come and hang out at all the different tailgates that the bums put together, and he's out there in the parking lot rubbing elbows with us regular folks.
He came to our live show. He got up on stage. That's only for everyone who saw that in person, but like
yeah, he was there and he was fantastic on the show, man. I mean, he really, you know, listen, for all the flack that dude gets for, you know, whatever, the growl and some of the weird things that have come up about his announcing, I think he's taking it on the chin a little bit because he had to follow, you know, the whole Jason Benetti thing that's out there right now. The biggest takeaway for me from that is I don't give a shit about what Jason Benetti's doing because he's not with us no more. Congratulations to him. I don't want to sound like a dick. Yeah. Like, good for you. Good for what they're doing with him in Detroit and giving him that opportunity, but he's not here anymore. He was a treasure here. He's not here anymore. Let's move on, right? But, you know, John had to fill those shoes during a really bad stretch of baseball.
True.
So, but if you talk to the guy and hang out with him in person, awesome dude, really nice guy, down to earth, and he said it pretty good at the 108 after party. It's family, and he wants to be part of that family. He truly wants to be, you know, out there with the regular folks doing the regular things, and he does. He's out there all the time. He's pretty cool about it. So maybe we'll get him on there, and if we can get all three of those guys on there, I'm gonna really gonna push it and try to get Steve.
Yes, I love it. Worth the shot, right?
I'm gonna shoot my shot. Worst that can happen is he's gonna tell me no. And let's be honest with you. This face has heard no in my day.
Jacob, you guys, if you don't get him this year, you just let them see how big this thing gets during the season and how much the fans are in on it, and then you try again. And because like, hey, everyone's involved in this. Everyone loves this thing. I love this idea. I think this idea really has legs. I'm looking forward to see during the season, especially when we get a little coverage. We start getting a little coverage going and we start rooting for shit during games. That's going to be great. I can't wait for it.
Absolutely. And I had to highlight this last This last comment from Harp. He says he wants Garfine to do a beer money.
Now, Bearstown will give you a square if you want. If you want one, I got the inside track on Bearstown. He will give you a square if you guys want one. He'll do it for you.
You know what? If we get to that point where like I said, I've got guests lined up. I've got some plans. If we get to that point, we need one from Gabriel. By all means, we'll make that happen.
Hell yeah!
All right. I love Gabriel. He's a good dude, and he's. I mean. You know, when you want to talk about people who are damn good shit talkers, he can stir the pot. Let's just say that.
No question. There's no question about it.
So, all right. Well, since we got that out there, we have reached the pinnacle of the show. It is our hot takes and heaters time. And again, since Beef Love is our guest, I got one or two that are 108 related. So I'm gonna let you guys start off. Beef, go ahead and give us your hot take or heater. Oh, by the way, before you do this,
yeah,
I noticed you put out a tweet for this show earlier tonight, and you were like, "I'm not really sure."
Explain it. Whiteboard this shit for me, Danny.
What's the difference between a hot take and heater is? And you know what? I sat and I thought about that for a second. I was like, "What the fuck is this guy talking about?" And I'm like, "Of course he knows what it is." And then I was like, "Now you know what." Because half the time we don't know what it is when we're giving them. We're like, I'm not sure if this is a hot take or a heater, but this is what I'm going to say. Hot take obviously is like, you know, one of those things where you're like, I see something that's possible that maybe not everybody else does. Or it's an unpopular opinion, right? Just like when Chuck does his hot takes version of his thing. Yeah. And heaters is, you know, obviously heaters is the name because I'm your regular everyday chain smoking podcast host, but that's besides the point. When we talk about heaters in this portion of the show, it's who's on a heater, who's on a roll, you know, who's hot right now, what's going on there. So you know, you could take it, you know, take from that what you will, and give us what it is that you've got, because I know you've seen the show, even though you might be a little confused on what exactly is we're doing.
Oh, I know what the hot takes are. I know what those are. I just wanted to get the heater portion. I wanted to get the differentiation between the hot take and the heater, and you explained it perfectly, Danny. So, I'm happy to go first. I have a hot take, and I could not wait to get this fucking hot take off to you guys. So here's what needs to happen. Here's my hot take. Absolutely, positively, no. Spring training games should be televised. There should be no radio broadcast, no fucking webcast, not even fucking box scores. Take all of that shit away, okay? Reminder that these are fucking practices. There's zero strategy involved. The pitcher gets pulled from the goddamn game. They put another guy in there. Second inning, that motherfucker's back in there pitching again. All right, this does not resemble a real baseball game. Half the lineup is in there. The other half is out playing golf or knee deep in some ASU co-ed. This is not fucking the breaking balls do not break in spring training in Arizona. All right. Every other fucking fly ball is a home run. And then the ones that aren't home runs, the outfielders can't catch them because of the goddamn high sky. And the ball's bouncing all over the fucking place. It's not real baseball. It's just a fucking practice. All right. We should not have any access to it. We should not be able to watch it. You want to watch that shit? Fly to Arizona, fly to Florida, have yourself a vacation, and watch the shit in person. No more access to the goddamn spring training. The first game I want to see is the March 26th game in Milwaukee. I don't want to see these assholes before that, okay? And I think it's for the best for all of us.
That's fucking spicy. That is the hottest take I think I may have ever heard on this show. I no joke. I'm glad you unleashed, but you know, I did say that I'm getting older and I'm trying to change my vibe and I'm trying to put nothing but good vibes out there. But I, you know what? Now I'm like, oh, I really just want to lean into that fuck Beef Loaf hashtag. I mean, I get it, but fuck you.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's an avant-garde take, but I've been thinking about it a lot because I'm like, I watched the game at Cork. We went to the bar at Cork to watch the Sox game. And we were there, they had the Japanese media. We're interviewing some of the fans or whatever to talk about Mune and all this shit. We go there, we get shit-faced, we watch the game, they beat Cleveland. I couldn't tell you one person who did a goddamn thing. Why? Because it's the practice. If it was a regular Sox game, I'd know exactly who did every fucking thing. It dawned on me, why am I even watching this? I just want to go to the bar and hang out with the fellas. That's really what I want to do.
Yeah, I'm fucking, now I'm changing my mind.
That's it. That's my hot take. I'm sorry. Mic drop. That's it. I'm done. I'm home.
All right, I can't follow that. So... I'll take the pussy way out, and I'll say a heater to the chat for being here, especially Southside Jeff, who believes this comment. Can they air the ASU co-ed thing instead, asking you for MSS?
That's the comment of the night right there, Jeff.
That's my heater.
Not the porn guy.
Not the porn guy. Not the porn guy. Knows everything about porn, but not the porn guy.
Definitely. Not the porn
guy. He is allowed on Twitter, though, so.
That's right.
Holy shit. Oh, I mean, you know, like we said before the show, we're just going to see where it takes us. And, you know, chances are it's going to go off the rails, and sure shit. But, you know, it's been fun. I did say that I have a hot take, or a heater, if you will, or however you want to put it. First off, but, you know, I'm glad somebody brought up MSS. And I even commented this on the YouTube video that came out earlier this week on the short. I think it was on the actual podcast because I wasn't in the live chat this week. I watched it later. MSS. I have we'll call it a hot take slash beef. This son of a bitch talking about the Willis Tower. Bro, you might as well just go ahead and start talking about how you're from out west again. Because, like, what the fuck is this Willis Tower shit? Yes, it is called the Willis Tower. We live in Chicago, bro. It's still the Sears Tower, just like the fucking raid is still Comiskey. That's all I got.
Not to defend him, but he didn't grow up here, right? He grew up in Sterling, which is almost Iowa, and then he went to NIU, and then he went Arizona and West Coast. He has been living here for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe, whatever. So that should be enough time, Danny. You're right. I agree with you 100%. But he didn't grow up with Sears Tower. You know, like he did. I don't know. He's almost Indiana. I have to ask my wife. My wife's from Des Moines. I'll ask her. Do you know about Sears Tower or no? I can clarify it. But yeah, it's a rough look when he starts talking about Big Willie there like that. It's not.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Heaters. I'm just gonna give you a shout out on the heater. You are extremely busy. I've been watching you. You did get yourself a 12-hour ban, but aside from that, I mean, I see you're out there posting videos every day. You're promoting your attorney. You're working your ass off, and you're making you make White Sox Twitter a better place. No matter what anybody, even you know the fuck Beefloaf movement, all that bullshit that comes out every year around this time, whatever. Although, you know, it to me, I feel like it's a driver for that tourney. Just another one of those things that helps it trend. Yep. So I approve of the movement. You won't see me use it because, you know, like I said, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm trying not to do the smear thing. I felt like I was bad enough a couple years ago when you posted like a Halloween picture or something. Like I think you were a Ghostbuster. Something in this Halloween picture, and I'm like, who would have, like, looking at this dork, I'm like, who would have thought this guy was going to become an accountant? I think I said who would have thought this guy was going to become a bean counter? And then right as soon as I said that, I was like, wait a minute, is it okay to call a Mexican accountant a bean counter?
Dude, I got fucking Danny, in my book it is, yes.
I got fucking dragged, dude. I got dragged for that. People are like, that's fucking wrong. I did get like one or two fucking people that are like, holy shit, that's the best comment I've ever seen in my life. But dude, I got dragged. You know,
I'm sorry. I think it's funny as hell. In person, I would have not dragged you, I'd laugh my ass off.
So yeah, you know, but whatever. And then, you know, when Ian was in the tournament, there was no way he was going to beat you. But again, it was great for exposure, and we had this conversation. It was great for White Sox Daily and then, you know, moving on to Future Sox. Yep. His account has blown up since then. Obviously, it's a lot for his work that he does. But, you know, yeah, it's great exposure. But I leaned into the smear campaign, trying to help my boy out. It didn't work out. And I'm swearing off of that this time. So, you know, I'm hoping to see one of two of our future size guys in there, and I'll wait to see when that comes out. Yeah, yeah.
No spoilers, but I think you will.
I will never ask. That's okay. I will never ask for, you know, who, but I know we got a couple of guys that are pretty, pretty, pretty good social media guys on the team here at Future Sox. So I'm, you know, yep. And if I do jump in to help these guys try to get a few votes, it'll be on the up and up instead of the
love it
instead of the smear campaign. So, but yes, thank you, sir. Before we wrap up, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and just remind them of you know, what's coming up.
Awesome. Yeah, you can find everything on our website, fromthe108.com. You can find us on YouTube at fromthe108, Twitter at fromthe108, me at MrDelicious13. We have the 108 podcast this Thursday at 8 p.m. In the back half of the show, we're going to announce the number one seeds that are coming up in the 108 tourney. And then Thursday, March 12th, that'll be the full bracket reveal, 160 spots. We will have guests. There'll be commentary on the brackets. It'll be an absolutely full, blown-out show. And then the tournament starts Monday, March 16th. So we'll be ready to rock and roll, and we're going to run that thing right through opening day. The championship match will be on opening day, March 26th, when the Sox are playing the Brewers in the afternoon. The championship will be going on during that. So appreciate everyone voting. We're going to be putting this out in all the channels, but you can only vote on Twitter. So get your burner accounts, all that shit. No bots, please. Except for certain matchups we'll allow. But mostly no bots. and thank you for – thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. Danny, obviously, love seeing you whenever I see you in person. It's good chatting you. Jacob, nice to meet you. We got to do this again sometime. Maybe you guys come on my Ajou, and we'll fuck around a little bit over there and talk some White Sox. I would love to have you guys on.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it'd be fun. Beautiful. I know it'll be fun. It'll be a great time. Always is. Thanks again, B, for coming in. Jake, you got anything you want to throw out there before we put a bow on it?
Negative.
All right. Like it. Short and sweet, to the point. So, thank you to everyone for coming in and hanging out with us tonight. First and foremost, thank you to our guest. Secondly, as always, I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to our chat. You guys are the best. We love you. You keep us on our toes and rolling. Just a quick reminder, anytime us or any of the other Future Sauce podcasts are live, Super chats are open, but you know, we understand times are tough. You know, if you're watching the news at all, gas prices might be going up here shortly. So, but we're not going to get into the politics. We get it. We understand if you can't contribute financially. So if you could just do us the favor and help us out with the algorithms, smash that like button, subscribe, tell a friend, do whatever it is that you can get some people to come in or just get us some views. We appreciate that. Help us out with the algorithms. All that stuff goes a long way in our books, and we love you guys for doing it. I know there's a bunch of you out there to do. If you are into our written content, you can find that at www.futuresox.net. Be on the lookout for our prospect rankings coming up here shortly in the next couple weeks. You'll see a bunch of the lists coming out for the guys that we voted on, and that'll be interesting, and we'll have some exclusive content coming up on the draft as well. But, you know, as far as that goes, I think that about does it for us tonight. Beefloaf, our guest, he is Mr. Delicious 13 on X. For my co-host Jacob Thome, JThome 21 on X, I am Danny Miller, Danny Miller FS on X. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back here next Wednesday. Our host next week will be the one and only, my former co-host, the man with the golden pipes, and the host of the Good Guys Talk Back podcast, Mr. Nick Morawski. So be on the lookout for that. That'll be next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, as always, we will see you next time. We love you. Go White Sox.